Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of James chapter 4, we were instructed that as Christians, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, not predestined to be saved. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Romans 8:29, a lot of people try to put Romans 8:29 as addressed to unsaved people. It's actually addressed to saved people. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And so as a Christian, that's not talking about predestination to be saved. It's talking about a saved person being predestined to be conformed to the image of God's son. Many times trials, tribulations, and troubles come into our lives to help shape us into that image. And so as we continue along in this study, please understand that many times when you give the title deed to the dwelling of your heart to the Lord, then he's going to come in and he's going to start making changes. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, the next word I want us to consider is the word lusteth here in James 4, verse 5. And that speaks of intense desires, which explains the charge of spiritual adultery in the previous verse, in verse 4, because it becomes a desire in your own heart. And aren't we taken back then again to James chapter 1? This is almost a repeat of James chapter 1. But every man, verse 14, is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It's your own lust that draws you away, and then you're trapped. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so, my friend, that brings about the charge of spiritual adultery, because there's a lust that seeks to go outside the things of God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The last word in verse 5 of James 4 is the word envy. Envy. It receives prominence by its position in this sentence, because here it is speaking of divine jealousy. The spirit within jealously guards our relationship to God. And the spirit is grieved when we sin against God's love. And with that thought in mind, let us go on and read verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now Peter also quotes this verse, which is actually from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. And Peter uses it as well to rebuke pride, whether it's the pride of the elders or of others in the church. In 1 Peter 5:5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Now, let's just kind of park here for a moment. We've looked at James chapter 4, and we saw friendship with the world is enmity with God, and God even called it adultery. Now, when a wife or a husband commits adultery on their mate, if they humble themselves, they say, I'm wrong, it's not your fault, it's not because of the way you are, I went out and I had an adulterous relationship, I gave in to temptation, I am wrong, will you forgive me? Now, if he says, well, you know, if you hadn't have been so naggy, or she says, well, if you hadn't been so controlling, or if you hadn't have been this or that, or, and they start making these accusations, they make them to try to justify their sin. And although they say, well, their sin's not justified, but it's understandable. No, it's not understandable in God's sight. Adultery is never, never justifiable. Never. And don't blame your mate. Instead, repent and ask forgiveness. Now, when a mate has cheated on you, there may be a tendency in your own heart and mind to say, I'm not going to forgive, or, you know, the old saying, I'll forgive but never forget, which, by the way, is not real forgiveness. And boy, you just are constantly battering them with it, always bringing it up, always knocking them down with it. No, that's not the way to go around it. That is not the way to handle it. And we see here that although God is even more jealous than a jealous wife or a husband can be, the worst of jealousy in a man or a woman does not match the jealousy of God when we commit adultery in spiritual terms against Him. And yet, He giveth more grace. When we humble ourselves, admit our sin, He giveth more grace. Now, there's a sharp contrast between worldly and divine jealousy. You see, men want revenge, but He giveth more grace. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I have a Savior. I'm glad I've got a God, and I'm glad I've got a friend who is giving me more grace in Jesus Christ. You see, divine jealousy is after or maybe during the fact. Many times, worldly jealousy is before the fact, or thinks on things and begins to imagine things. But God giveth more grace. And that assures the repenting sinner that no offense is too great for God's forgiveness. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, Romans 5:20 tells us. Now, please understand, Proverbs 28:13 says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin. Now, it's not just enough to say, oh, I'm doing this wrong, and forgive me, God, and then you're going to go right back to doing the same thing tomorrow. Just confessing sin is not enough. We must forsake it. That is humbling. We haven't humbled ourselves until we forsake it. Now, notice the word proud here in verse 6. It is defined as one who shows himself above his fellow man in honor, preferring himself. Love of the world and the flesh are born of pride, if we stay in context. And friend, wasn't that the sin of Satan? In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, we read this about Satan. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Pride was the sin of Satan. And we see that he was the son of the morning, the son of light, a creature of beauty. In heaven, we find out that when before his fall, that he was in charge of heaven's music and that he was the most beautiful of angels. But by the time we get to Revelation, we find he's called a red dragon. And oh, that is what sin is. And that's what Satan was. And he gave in to pride. And my friend, when pride starts getting in your life, the devils are working and winning in you. Now, in the text, we've seen the world in verse 4. We see the flesh here in verses 5 and 6. And then we'll see the devil in verse 7. Pride in Satan brought about his fall. It makes the Christian a failure and an adulterer as well when he is ruined or ruled or governed by pride. Now, notice the disgrace that is cast upon the proud in this verse 6. Again, let me read that to you. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now think about that with me for a few moments. God resists them. Now, so often, a person that is proud, he hears preaching about sin, he hears preaching about the things that are in his life, and there is pride that says, no, I'm not going to confess that. No, I'm all right. You've seen that person that has been in church for 20 years, and it's been about 15 of those years that he's since he's been to the altar. And he's too spiritual, he thinks, to go to an altar. Do you realize in Israel that every man was required to at least 3 times a year appear at an altar before God with a sin offering? Why is it we get to that area in our Christian life that we feel that we're too proud, we're too good, I don't need to go forward? What will people think? You better get off what will people think, because that's pride, and you better start thinking about what will God think. You see, my friend, we're just not thinking in the right direction. So the proud so often resist God and His Word in so many areas. But let the proud spirits hear this and tremble. God resist you. Too many are out of God's will. They're out of church and out of fellowship with God because pride has hurt them. Their own pride has been hurt. And God had to allow that situation so your pride would be hurt, because it shows where you are spiritually. Perhaps someone in your church that might have been a pastor, it might have been a youth director, it might have been a music director, it might have been a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, and they've been caught in some sin, maybe in thievery, maybe in adultery, maybe in some other notorious sin. And as a result, you said, that's it, they're all a bunch of hypocrites, and I'm not going to go back anymore. And you have, in pride, said, I'm better than they are by doing that action. And in pride, you have made an accusation against all of God's people that applied to just one or two. For example, let's say that you have a family reunion, and in that family reunion, there's about 50 of you that gets together. One of the ladies in that reunion is a harlot. One of the others have spent time in prison. Another one is a drug addict. Now, most of you, though, are saved people. However, since there was a harlot, since there was a drug addict, since there's somebody that spent some time in prison, does that mean that all the family is that way and therefore you should never have anything to do with the rest of the family ever again because every one of them are that way? Oh, no. That's not right at all. Then why would you do that to God? Is God the harlot? Is God the drug addict? Is God the one that's been in prison? No. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's true. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.